Hi, I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor podcast. On today's podcast, we're discussing essential oils for cleansing and detoxification support. This is one of those things that's going to help you with glowing skin from the inside out. So my guest is Jodi Cohen. She is a best-selling author and award-winning journalist. Her number one best-selling book, Healing with Essential Oils, has been widely praised as one of the most well-researched consumer books in years. She's also founder of Vibrant Blue Oils, where she has combined her training in nutritional therapy and aromatherapy to create unique proprietary blends of organic and wildcrafted essential oils. On today's podcast, Jodi shares some specific essential oils that enhance cleansing and detoxification. We also discuss techniques for using essential oils and how to know how to select the right essential oils for your unique needs. Even though Jodi owns an essential oil company, you'll find that in her interviews, she shares valuable information without prejudice towards her company. So please enjoy this interview. Jodi, it's so great to have you on my podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so we're talking today about essential oils for detoxification, right?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of talk these days about cleansing, detoxification, getting your organs of detoxification clean, your liver, gallbladder, your digestion, your lymph system, your skin, all of that cleared out. And I think essential oils, it sounds like, can be a great addition to that. Maybe somebody's doing a cleanse program, but essential oils can help support somebody as they're going through that process. So I'm excited to talk about this today.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited. I love what you're doing too. I think it's so beneficial to put out the message that it's not just putting a different product on your face, but actually what you eat that shows up in your skin.
Yeah. And, you know, it's such a, I think today with essential oils, we could talk about both what you can do internally and externally, because it's really the combination of the two. I think there's a big part of it for me. I always think that 80% comes from internally what we can do. And then there is still that 20% of what we put on our skin and we want it to be clean. And essential oils are such a great alternative to things like synthetic fragrance. So let's get started with this. But first, can you share with everybody what made you interested in essential oils?
It was a little bit, it showed up in my life kind of by accident. I was going through a really rough patch. My husband is bipolar and needed to be hospitalized. And once I knew he was safe and it wasn't really my job to keep him safe, my system just collapsed. I just shut down from kind of being in survival mode for so long. And nothing I was doing seemed to help. No dietary changes, no supplements. So someone came over one day with a big box of oils and said, "These are really going to help you." And I said, "Great, how do I use them?" And they said, "No, you're very intuitive. You're going to figure it out." And they just left the box next to me on the couch. And, you know, desperation is the mother of all invention. I was so desperate because my kids were quite little and I really needed to be able to function. So I just made up my own potions, for lack of a better word, to support my adrenals and help insomnia and basically help to shift me out of that sympathetic dominant state. And when I started to feel better and tell people what I was doing, they were like, "Oh, we want to try it." And I'm like, "Okay, well, you know, why not?" So I gave it to them and it worked really well on them. And they started testing it on their clients and they said, "You need to do something with this." And I thought, well, gosh, I'm sure, you know, I, how can no one be doing this? And they weren't really looking at it through that lens. And so that was really how I launched the company, just realizing that there was a need for this.
Oh, that's great. And it's Vibrant Blue Oils, right? Is the name of your company. Yeah. That's great. How did you come up with the name for that? I love the name.
You know, it's really funny. This blue that we're both wearing has always been my favorite color. And when we were kids, my mom used to love antique stores and my sister and I would be really bored. And so she came up with the idea that if we had something to collect, we'd be less bored because we would be interested. And so my sister picked thimbles and I picked those antique blue bottles. I love them. So I just started collecting them at an early age and, you know, brought them to college and my apartments after college. I just thought it was so gorgeous. And when these oils entered my life, they were in these bottles. And I thought, oh, that's such a, you know, sign from above. Like, of course, they come in blue bottles. So that was kind of the start of it. I just like the energy of them, honestly.
Awesome. That's so great. I love hearing people's stories and on how they come up with names and things. So thank you for sharing that.
Of
Okay,
course.
so let's talk about essential oils, and how they help with detoxification, because I don't know, it's not really something that we've talked a lot about on this podcast.
Yeah, so there are a couple of things that are really interesting about oils. I mean, as you know all too well, most people that we see these days have some kind of digestive impairment. They're not necessarily assimilating their nutrients as well as they could be. And so adding more, food is great because it's kind of very in line with what the body is supposed to do. Supplements, for the most part, are, but they're modified a little bit. And so it's not always a sure thing that what you take internally is going to get to where it needs to go in the body. But the back doors are kind of the olfactory system. If you smell something, it gets into your system quite immediately and actually into the area of the brain called the amygdala and the limbic system that helps us with emotions and other things. And when we feel good, we look good. Also, things that are applied topically, like we know that hormonal creams and nicotine patches get into the system. That's a really great direct access point. So, if, for example, somebody is having a lot of digestive impairment and you want to get a healing substance into the body, those channels of the, olfactory system or the skin are really alternative ways to get things into the system. And what's great about that is that if you think about the liver, and how much it's overburdened, and even healthy food can feel kind of poisonous if it's too much or it's being malabsorbed. If you topically apply something over the liver, we know to do this with castor oil packs. So you can add in essential oils that help to make the bile flow better or the liver move, and function more effectively. And then it's a little bit like, if you think of two people carrying like a heavy object, like a chair, if four people help out, it's just easier for everyone. So it's just an external, kind of support that helps with the whole process.
And I love that you're saying this because so much of what we spray around in the air around us, cleaning supplies, beauty supplies, and then what we put on our skin, a lot of times those items are actually toxic.
I
And
know.
people are ignoring the fact that what they're breathing in, they're actually absorbing. What they're putting on their skin, they're actually absorbing. And people are
Yeah.
so blind to this oftentimes. Now, of course, not my audience because we've talked about this a lot. But instead of looking, now what we're talking about is what can you do to put on your skin and spray around you that actually helps your health, that
Yes.
helps you feel better, that helps with detoxification rather than doing the opposite. So I love that, and I applaud you for doing that. And you mentioned castor oil pack. So for people that aren't familiar with that, I
All
do think
right.
it's a great detoxification technique. And so
Yeah.
explain to people how to do it and how you
Okay.
use essential oils with that.
Yeah, so there are two ways to do a castor oil pack. One is a little, first of all, what castor oil does is it helps to pull the toxins out of the system. Like we know that our skin is our biggest organ. And so when the liver or the kidneys or the gallbladder are overburdened, sometimes things come out through our skin. And that's one of the reasons that if you start to clean up internally, your skin looks better because it's not the forced exit channel. So castor oil helps to pull those toxins out. And the complicated way to apply it is to take burlap and basically soak it in castor oil for a while and then apply it over your liver, which is on the right side of your body, right under your rib cage, right under your breast, I mean. And then you put a plastic, whatever you want, over it, and then a heating pad on top of that. And you lie down on a towel for 30 minutes. And it can be messy. I mean, castor oil is messy. It stains things. You can wear a ratty t-shirt. And if you're going to integrate oils, you would just put a little bit of the oil on before you put the burlap and the castor oil on it. So that's kind of the complicated castor oil pack. The lazy man's castor oil pack is just to wear a super ratty t-shirt, put maybe a tablespoon of castor oil kind of right under your breasts over the liver, and then put a drop or two of essential oil on top of that, and then just wear a ratty t-shirt, and your body temperature kind of helps with detoxification during the night.
Yeah, and they also have those roll-on castor oils too. Have you
Yes.
seen those? Those are really handy too. So
Right,
you can
right.
apply it. So it's right around where your rib cage ends to, like you said, in your breast. So that whole area there is a great place to do that. Okay, great. And so, what are some of the essential oils that are good for detoxification?
Helichrysum and grapefruit are kind of known to be great for the liver. and they're really powerful because they help to kind of mobilize the liver. It's a little bit like, I'm a runner, so I think of it, you're, hitting the wall and you have some kind of goo or caffeine and suddenly a banana, you have more energy. It just gives the liver some vitality to help function better. My company, we've created some different blends. The interesting thing about oils is that they work amazingly well as singles. They're fabulous. But then sometimes when you combine them, it's a little bit like going to a restaurant and they serve you something like a salad that has ingredients you would never think to put together, but somehow it tastes amazing. Oils in combination, it's almost alchemical. They can do things like kind of help the liver to function as it's supposed to. It's almost like a flotation device.
Yeah, you said grapefruit, and what was the other one?
Oh, helichrysum.
Can you spell that for people who
Yeah.
aren't familiar with it?
Sure. Helichrysm. Helichrysum. It's super expensive. The best helichrysum is from Corsica.
Okay, and so these two are magical for, particularly for the liver. Is
For the
that right?
liver.
Yeah. Okay,
They're
great.
great for the liver.
Okay. So that's castor oil packs. What are some of the other ways that we can use essential oils for detoxification?
Well, one of the things that I love is the lymphatic system. It's really the biggest detoxification organ that kind of gets the least credit, because it helps to pull things out of the cells and then actually carry them to the liver. And that's why things like dry brushing, which you recommend, is great. But you can use kind of minty essential oils, like spearmint is actually really good to help, especially with the brain, detoxifying from the brain. So just putting things on the side of the neck, before you go to bed, because the brain detoxifies when you're sleeping, or anything that you can do to kind of help the lymph to move, both moving your body and applying oils will then help to move the toxins more rapidly out of the system.
Okay, great. I just thought of something. I know sometimes people, when they're doing a cleanse or detoxification, they get headaches, like that
Yes.
toxic kind of headache.
Yes.
Is that good for that, or do you have any other
Yes.
suggestions?
No, that I have a couple of suggestions, but that's kind of what it is because you're mobilizing the toxins. And what's interesting, like this is the main channel for the toxins leaving the body, and it's the biggest bottleneck. It's a little bit like there are in theory 4 lanes, for traffic to go in, but 3 of them are closed just because the lymph is stagnant or the vagus nerve, which I'll talk about, is a little bit toxic. And so things get stuck and they don't drain. So what happens is there's a bottleneck and the pressure kind of builds up in the head and gives you a headache. So the more you can help to move that out, another great oil for that is our parasympathetic blend. And that helps to stimulate the vagus nerve, which is right here. And then it kind of sends the message through the body to switch into that parasympathetic rest and digest state and allow the body to really heal. Like I know you talk about this, when you're in stress, it's really hard to detoxify.
Yes. And it's so true that I think a lot of times people focus on just the liver, but there's so much involved in
Yes.
detoxification on a lot of different levels. And like we're talking about the lymph system and but also the emotional component and the brain and how that all neurochemistry gets involved in it. So it's not as simple as people always think, right?
Yes. I think that I don't think you can do it wrong, is I guess what I want to say. There are lots of levels, but even if you're just using your amazing juice recipes on that level, you're getting a lot of benefit.
Great. And what about kidney support?
Yeah, so it's interesting. The kidneys are kind of associated with fear. Like they're right below the adrenals. The kidneys, for those of you that don't know, are about the size of your fist. And they sit on the low back, starting at the very bottom rib. And then the adrenal glands sit on top of them. And so we have a really great oil for kidney support. There are a lot of supplements and nutrients that you can take as well. But I think the kidneys are kind of the forgotten organ in some ways. And they're the ones that tend to flare with any kind of detoxification effort. So yeah, I think it's really helpful to support the kidneys. And I also think, just being in the parasympathetic state, really taking a moment before you have your smoothie or whatever you're doing to detoxify, to just kind of relax so that all of the nutrients can be assimilated and all of the toxins can be excreted,
Right. And so,
eliminated.
are there any particular essential oils that are particularly good for the kidneys then?
We created, what's interesting? So I work with a lot of clinical practitioners and they test different things for me. And there's not one that always tests well for the kidneys for everyone because we're all different. So different oils work better for certain people. You know, like nutmeg in theory is supposed to be great for the kidneys and the adrenals. That, in my experience, didn't test for anyone. But we created a combination of blends for the kidneys that work really well. It's called our kidney blend. But for people at home, you know, lavender is actually really great. And you can smell it through when you tend to be anxious, that's, you know, associated with fear. And that's often the right part of the frontal lobe that's overacting. So what you want to do is stimulate the left part. So just smelling lavender through the left nostril can be very soothing for the kidneys.
Through the left nostril.
Right, because you're trying to stimulate the left side of the brain to put it into balance.
Okay. All right. Great. So lavender, yeah, lavender seems to be one that's great for a lot of different things.
It's amazing for everything, I think. If you had to pick one oil and one only oil to like go to a desert island with, I would pick lavender.
Yeah, the only problem with lavender is that I feel like it's in so much, so many scented things and synthetic and natural that it's kind of almost become overdone and that some people are tired of the lavender smell. So
no, you're right. Lemon is great, and especially lemon balm. It's very refreshing. Anything citrusy is another thing that kind of helps to reset the energy and the mood, like for headaches. Lemon is great. Orange. A lot of little kids really like orange, grapefruit. They all kind of help, you know, because when you're detoxing, it's work for your body, so it can be very exhausting.
That's great. Yeah, I love it. I love it with, you know, for the whole family, right? It's not just for adults. It's for kids too. We do have, there are some, a little bit of safety things around essential oils, right? Do you want to talk about some safety tips, especially if you're using them on, you know, your entire family?
Yeah, I don't recommend using oils on children under two. I just think that it's, you know, it's risky and it won't necessarily hurt them. If you want it, put like a drop on a cotton ball and just put it in their crib or near their bed so they can smell it, but it's not too much for them. And then always diluting, you know, you get the oil and it's neat. And I say dilute aggressively and kind of wean up to what that means. And that can be as complicated as you measure out the exact amount of drops with the exact amount of dilution, which can be, you can use any other oil. So I like coconut oil, olive oil works, almond oil. But, you know, or you can make it a more easy, less complicated. Take about a tablespoon and put maybe a drop or two and just mix it in your hand. And then you can rub it on their feet. The feet are really a great application point because they have reflex points for the entire body. And the soles of the feet are really thick. So some of the oils feel a little hotter and could, you know, like even peppermint can sometimes make your skin turn red. But if you put it on the bottom of the feet, it doesn't seem to have that effect. So that's really the safest place for everyone.
I love that. And you know what? That's actually, it's funny. That's what I do a lot with my daughter at bedtime. She's having a hard time. She's 10. We've been doing this for years. If she has difficulty sleeping, I'll have some almond oil and I'll put a few drops of, you know, spearmint, peppermint or citrus, sometimes lavender. And we'll, you know, I'll put that on the bottoms of her feet and give her a foot rub. And that it's always worked really well for her to help her sleep.
It's magic. And you know what else you can do? You can do an Epsom salt bath first. So there are different recipes. I like 2 cups of Epsom salt, 1 cup of baking soda. And then I put the after the bath because, you know, the bath opens up the pores a little bit. So they're more absorbent. And that's another thing people don't know. Like if you have a cut on your skin, don't put oil on that because it gets into the system faster. And when your blood flow is moving more rapidly, like after you've been in the bath or shower or exercise, it's going to assimilate faster. So just if you're working with young people or sensitive people, you know, be cognizant of that, that it might, if you put it on right after a bath, it's going to get into your system faster than if you do it, you know, right before you go to bed when you're kind of cold.
Mm-hmm. And so going back to the bath for a second, and, you know, we were talking about kids, but also adults, how much essential oil do you put in a bath?
Yeah. And that's actually, I thank you for bringing that up. So you want to mix the essential oil in with the Epsom salt before you start running the water so that it doesn't float on the top. And I tend to do probably 2 or 3 drops. So I put the Epsom salt in the tub and then I add the oil before I add the water and I kind of mix it around in the tub first.
Okay. And so what was the ratio again? You said baking soda?
For adults, 2 cups of Epsom salt, 1 cup of baking soda and 2 to 3 drops of lavender. And then for children, just half of the recipe.
Okay. And of course, it depends on the person's size of their bathtub, but that's,
Oh,
you know, if you have
yeah.
a really large bathtub, you want to use more. If you have a smaller bathtub, use less. If you
Yeah.
have a little baby
If
tub, that's totally
you just
different.
ran a marathon, go nuts, use the whole box.
Right. All right, great. Any other safety tips to think about, things to avoid, or what do you think about essential oils internally, like ingesting them?
So I don't think it will actually hurt you. I mean, I think a lot of the things like Purell that we put on kids' hands before they eat are probably far more toxic. I just haven't found it to be outrageously successful. Because it has to go through the stomach process and the liver. I personally think a lot of people that talk to me are smelling it when it goes down because they're putting it in their water. I don't think it will hurt you. But I don't necessarily feel like that's the most effective way to use oils. I feel like topically applying them is more successful. And when I test clients and kind of see like, well, let's see if this is working. Because if you swear by it and you love it, it's not hurting you. Do what you trust yourself and your intuition.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that sometimes putting like a drop of lemon essential oil in water is really refreshing. But like you said, part of that's the
Yeah.
aromatic part of it of smelling it, but tasting a little bit of lemon or maybe some of the mint family, that can also be a nice way to make, water taste a little
Oh
more
yeah.
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not terrible. It won't hurt you. And I know there's a lot of fear campaigns that, if you only buy a certain oil blend or company's blend, everyone else is bad. I don't actually think they're bad. I think that, to your point, a lot of the toxic chemicals that we're using every day are much more harmful.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about the purity of essential oils, because that is something that comes up a lot.
Yes.
And because there are companies that are making essential oils that really aren't pure essential oils. They're diluted with other oils. There may be even
Yeah.
synthetic fragrance in there. So there's a wide range of products out there. So how do people know if something is a pure, clean essential oil?
I mean, just trusting the company. Like every time I walk by those Body Works stores in the mall, I get a headache. You can kind of tell. You can tell when it's synthetic because it doesn't smell the same. So any of the multi-level ones, Young Living, doTERRA, Vibrant Blue, we're not multi-level, Rocky Mountain Oil, Sage, Plant Therapy. I think they're all good. I think they're all high quality. I think the ones that are dedicated essential oil companies are pretty good. I think the concern, you're right, is using synthetics or altering it, or I would say look for an organic label because that's the concerning thing. If they're grown with pesticides, all of a sudden when you concentrate them, because oils are highly concentrated essences of plants, you're concentrating the pesticide with it and the
Absolutely.
inhalant.
I think that's such a great point because when we concentrate things in supplements or essential oils or oils in general, we have to think about how much of that plant is used to make that, and that if it's sprayed with pesticides, it's going to concentrate the beneficial parts of the plant, but also those things that are on the plant that shouldn't be there. So yeah, I think that's really a great point. Organic is one of the ways that can help us be aware of that. What are some of the things that you do with your company, if you're okay with sharing this, that help ensure that you're providing a clean product? Just so, because I think we have a great opportunity right now talking to you as someone who manufactures. What I mean, because I know what I look for in my skincare products to make sure that they're clean and that are absolutely the must-haves and our process of looking through that. What about with your company? Like, how do you know that your products are clean?
So I sourced through a woman who's been doing this for 30 years, and she actually visits the farm. She has relationships with the owners, and she watches them, and then she tests it. She gets every batch in, and she tests it, and she makes sure that it's, clean on multi levels. And then also, kind of, there's an energy of oils. If you're in a mass production line, it's very different than if you have someone who really loves the plants and is caring for them and picking them. And they find different healing benefits actually for even if it's grown in the same region. She only buys from certain regions in the country. For example, you only buy blue tansy from Morocco or helichrysum from Corsica because they're different. You can get them cheaper in other parts of the country, but they have different healing potentials. Like, I mean, I'll just give you an example. I grew up in Seattle, which is apple country. And then I lived in New York, which is also apple country. The apples do not taste the same on the West Coast and the East Coast just because of the climates. You know, they're different, and both of them are beautiful. But I think really, when you're looking to use oils in a therapeutic capacity, you really need to be quite clear on the benefits that you're looking to derive. And then you kind of reverse engineer of it needs to come from, you know, the most indigenous part of the world so that it grows a certain way. It needs to be harvested at a certain time by a certain quality of people. The minimum, they're not using pesticides and adulterants. You're not diluting it. And that kind of feels like the bare minimum. And then it's a certain level of quality on top of that, and trust and credibility and, integrity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great. Thank you for sharing that. And when it comes to massage, I know essential oils are oftentimes used in massage, and that can be a great thing to have with detoxification to help with the lymph flow, drainage.
Yes.
So what kind of essential oils, and in what manner should they be used for that?
That's a really great question. I think, the one thing that I do want to say is that when you're moving toxins and moving debris from the body, it's really important to make sure they leave the body. And so the two aspects of that, you want to make sure that you're supporting your gallbladder and that you're also giving someone binders so that things, the gallbladder dumps the bile into the small intestine. You want it to leave the small intestine. So I think, in terms of oils that you can use, it can be a variety of things. I don't know that it's a cookie cutter answer because different people will have a reaction. Some people like different smells. And so I think that can be very personal. They're all going to kind of mobilize toxins and get things moving in the body. And, if somebody hates peppermint, that why would they use that for their massage? It's like, how much salt do you add to your food? It's a very personal choice. I do think that the mint oils tend to help with the lymphatic system, but if that's not a smell you enjoy, you'll get the same benefit from different oils. Just be clear, if you're doing a massage or some kind of aggressive manual technique to move toxins, make sure that you are regular, that you're not constipated, that your bile is moving these toxins out of the body, and then make sure you're taking a binder like chlorella or charcoal or psyllium. You get to pick, but just something so that the toxins actually leave the body.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great tips. Yes, of course. And I love that this can be a personal thing. And when you say it's personal, it's almost like you're almost tapping into your intuition a little bit.
Exactly.
Exactly. Just like this one smells good right now. And it may not smell good to you another time, but if you're drawn to it, maybe it's something you kind of need at that moment. And so pay attention
to that.
That's
exactly what I think.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of times we open up books, and I think those are great, but allow yourself to just, have some different essential oils, right? And smell them and kind of feel into it a little bit, right? Sounds like that's what you do.
Well, and what's interesting is that as you heal things, like something, I'll give you an example. So my gallbladder was very congested. I had two kids. I was under a lot of stress. I would get the gallbladder headaches all the time, the pain between my shoulder blades, motion sickness, all of those gallbladder symptoms. And so when I first created our gallbladder blend, when I would smell it, it was like candy. It was delicious to me. Anytime I got a serious headache, the gallbladder is associated with headaches, that would nip it in the bud right away and make me feel better. And I did a really aggressive gallbladder protocol. I really focused on it, with my diet, with supplements, with this oil for about 2 months. And then it started getting better. In fact, we went on a cruise and I was worried. I didn't want to take any drugs or wear those bracelets. And at one point, the water was pouring out of the pool. Normally, I would be very motion sick and I was fine. So that I could tell I was done. And then I picked up the gallbladder oil to smell it. And it wasn't unattractive, but it just didn't smell right. It's like, when you have your period and you need chocolate, and then when you're not on your cycle, you can take it or leave it.
Not necessarily that we all need to eat a lot of chocolate when we're
no.
But yeah, I know what you mean. So, and part of that is one thing sometimes people need when they're craving chocolate is magnesium.
Yes.
So, and a lot of times women need that when they're menstruating. Just as like side note, that has nothing to do with essential oil. Sorry,
on tangents. But I think that's right. You crave it because you need the nutrient. That's exactly right. Like, perfect point.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great. And any other essential oil tips for digestion to help people with that?
We found that so one of the triggers for digestion is the brain basically sending a signal to every organ to kind of drop into that rest and digest state. When we're in stress, our body, prioritizes stress. So all of the blood flows to the muscles and the limbs so that you can flee stress. Basically, anything non-critical to survival shuts down, including digestion. So you can stimulate the on-off switch between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic state is cranial nerve number 10, the vagus nerve. And it starts at the back of the neck and winds around on both sides of the body and then goes through every organ of digestion. It's most accessible to the skin right here. It's clove, which is highly stimulatory, and then lime, which has incredibly small molecules. And then we dilute it so that it can go right here, stimulate that parasympathetic response, and turn on the whole digestive cascade. The mouth releases saliva, the stomach releases stomach acid, the gallbladder releases bile, pancreas releases enzymes. And it's really great for, if you have any constipation. I mean, it's a really great tool. It smells good and it just helps to drop you into that parasympathetic state where all healing can occur.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, well, thank you so much for the information today. Tell everyone how they can find out more about you, and then you also have a way for people to download a free chapter of your book, right?
Right, yes. So my company is Vibrant Blue Oils, Vibrant, blue like the color, oils.com. And I wrote a book, Healing with Essential Oils, that has a whole chapter on detoxification. But you can get the first chapter, which is a little bit on why essential oils work and how to use them.
Great, fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing this information. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Jody and you got some great information and tips on how to use essential oils safely and effectively and with confidence that you're going to be using something that when you smell it, when you feel it, when it touches your skin, that these are things that are actually have the possibility of improving your health rather than taking away from it. So, definitely something that I hope you'll start incorporating in your life. And it's a great alternative to synthetic fragrances using essential oils and, of course, the health benefits that we've talked about today. To learn more about Jody, you can go to my website, thespadoctor.com. Go to the podcast page with her interview, and you'll find the information and links there. And while you're there, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows and information. Also, you can find the show on iTunes. And if you haven't done so already, I highly recommend you take the skin quiz. So just go to theskinquiz.com. You can find out your unique skin type and get some great tips information on how to address your skin and health issues from a root cause approach. And I also invite you to join me on social media on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, and join the conversation with us there. And I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor podcast.